We're conscious of failing you so often, of being so distracted, so we pray you'll help us to be alert and sharpened by your word and through your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, who can tell me the name of this character? Oh, thank you very much. You know what it's called? Moz. Moz the what? Moz the monster. And this is from what advert? John Lewis Christmas campaign. And do you realise, I hadn't realised this till this week, that actually this advert has caused huge debate on social media. Did you know that? And on the internet and in papers. Because they're trying to work out what the meaning of the advert is. What is going on? Is Moz the monster a real or imaginary friend? How clear is the message behind the video, the film? But more deeply, what is going on in these children's lives, this child's life, and this present that appears? All these things. A lot of debate has been had about it. Maybe you've totally been oblivious to that. If that's the case, good for you. It's just an advert. It really doesn't matter. Two hoots. But actually, we know the reason for the advert is this. Come and spend your lovely money in my lovely posh shop. That's the advert, isn't it? That's the reason behind it. The reason is clear. Come to John Lewis. We're classy. We do great adverts. Spend your Christmas money with us, which is fair enough. As a shop, that's what shops do. The reason is utterly clear. And as we finish studying this book tonight, the reason for this book, this letter, is abundantly clear. And it's in our passage, we referred to it before several times throughout the series. The reason for this letter is abundantly clear in this final closing passage of the book. It's there in verse 12. It's there in verse 12. Let's read it together. Together we say, with the help of Silas, whom I regard as a faithful brother, I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it. Stand fast in the true grace of God. We've heard it before, countless times throughout this book. Stand fast. For the church scattered then, and the church now, here, and all over the world, the message to us by the Spirit of God tonight is to stand fast in the grace of God. That is what we need to hear. That's what Steve Rees, the vicar, needs to hear. This passage is a massive wake-up call to me and to us all from the hand of Peter, who loves these people and actually wants to speak into their hearts and by the Spirit of God into our hearts tonight. Stand fast. Stand fast. Stand fast. And the first way we see that Peter encourages us to stand fast in these verses is by resisting the enemy. Resisting the enemy. Did you know that when you became a Christian, a follower of Jesus, whether that was a moment in time or a gradual process, you became a marked man or woman? You are no longer in the kingdom of darkness, but you belong to the kingdom of light. You belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to you. You are united in Christ. And you need to realize, I need to realize, that the enemy of Jesus, Satan, is my enemy. Christians, we have an enemy. His name is Satan, the devil. And if you've not realized that before, we need to wake up to that fact. That's why Peter says in verse 8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. We knew, don't we, that in Genesis that the devil is a great deceiver. In the wilderness, he tried to deceive Jesus. The concern of Paul the Apostle to the Corinthians was this. He was fearful in chapter 11 that they might be led astray and deceived by the lies of Satan. Satan is a deceiver. But also we see here that Satan is somebody who wants to devour Christians, like a ferocious, hungry lion. A lion wants to destroy and consume other animals to survive. And when he's eaten one, he gets hungry and he goes after another one, and then another one, and then another one. When a lion devours an animal, it is ferocious, it is fatal, it is deadly. A lion wants to destroy and consume. And the devil is just like that. He prowls around looking for the next Christian he can trip up and take out and destroy. We are marked people. Have we realized that Satan is a dangerous enemy? He is a serpent who can bite us when we least expect it. He is a destroyer like a lion, wandering around, prowling, gently, quietly, catching us off guard. He has great power and intelligence, a host of demons who assist him. And Peter says, be alert. Be of sober mind. You have a formidable enemy. We must never joke about the devil. We must never underestimate him or ignore him. And Peter is so anxious that the church then and we now are alert to the fact. Be alert, he says, and of sober mind. Get real about your enemy who wants to take you out. Have you wondered sometimes why it feels so hard to be a Christian? Why it feels hard to keep holy? Why it feels hard to stand up for the truth? It's because it's a spiritual battle, and Satan wants to knock us out and devour us. We are in a battle. He wants to destroy churches. He wants to destroy lives. He wants to destroy marriages and Christian leaders. He wants to devour. And that's the experience of the church back then. Remember back in chapter 1, verse 6, they have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials that could have set them off course away from the Lord Jesus. They've already experienced the mockery of the world, chapter 4, verse 4, for being different and living in holiness. They have heaped abuse upon them for being so different. Be aware, be alert, that tough times, and in fact even tougher times, will come. Church back then, church now. That the devil wants to destroy faith through hardship, to get us to doubt God's goodness, to draw us back into our old ways of life and living, which are more comfortable and easier. Be alert. Be aware. You see, when you're alert and aware, then you're ready to resist him. When we arrived, someone very kindly gave us some deer whistles to put on the front of the car. And actually now, as Jenny drives home from work, from Lingfield, that's right. Could have gone the other way. She used to work in Lindfield, but now she works in Lingfield. She said it's just like ferocious out there at night. She sees all these lights, eyes flickering in the woods. And she fears for her car, for my car. And she fears for her life, but my car. And she has to be very alert. And people communicate through flashing lights in the forest going, slow down. There's deer afoot and you have to slow right down. I must fix those whistles on the car. I haven't done it yet. But actually, when you're alerted by flashing lights, you kind of slow down. You're alert and sober-minded. You're watching for these deer who stand there, you see their eyes glinting. So they can rip across the road. And there's this terrifying sign saying, 5 million deer and people killed here last week. Please notice the exaggeration for effect at that point. But when we hear this warning, these flashing lights to us, We hear so much stuff day in, day out at school or at work or in the media that will erode our sense of the truth of God's word. It will knock our confidence to stand fast. That will make us think that we are ridiculous for following Jesus Christ. Well, the warning comes, be alert and sober-minded. The devil wants to devour and destroy your faith. No, no, instead let the word of God dwell in you richly. Let your mind be renewed daily by the word. Don't give up meeting together with other believers. At church or small groups or socially, these are all gifts from God to keep us firm and standing fast. It is ferocious out there. Wake up. Be sober-minded. Stand firm in the faith. Stand fast in the faith by being aware of this and resisting your enemy, your foe. Second thing, the next way to stand fast, remember your family. It's there at the end of verse 9. It kind of flows through. Resist him, that's the devil, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kinds of sufferings. As Peter reminds them of their enemy and the opposition that Christians will face and that he will throw at God's people, he lifts their gaze from their own situation to the family of believers around the world who are suffering. Now I want you in your groups to think about why Peter puts this here. Okay? Why does Peter put this here? And as you look at this verse, talk about it together, just think about the verse back in chapter 4, verse 12, which says this, don't be surprised at the fiery trial. In 2s and 3s where you are, why is this part of the verse here? As Peter encourages us to stand fast. Why is it there? You've got 2 minutes and I'm going to get some feedback. Off you go. Don't be Why does Peter put this here as he encourages us to stand fast? Why does this help us? Anybody want to say, shout out the reason why? And you're all talking, so there's no excuse. Unless you're chatting about your Christmas shopping and then I don't want to hear about it. Okay. Okay, so there's benefit from it. Okay, but why particularly is he got this bit here, do you think? Yes, who are you pointing at? Oh, marvellous. Steve, up in the gallery. Yes. Preach to us, brother. Fantastic. Yeah, great. That's got to be it, isn't it, do you think? That sense of what I'm experiencing is not abnormal. You know, people become Christians and think, should it feel like this? Should it feel difficult at times? Should it feel like I want to go back sometimes to my old way of life because it'd be easier? No, Peter says, no, stand firm, stand fast, remembering that believers throughout the world are experiencing the same thing. This is not unusual. We've seen in the book, haven't we, already, the whole pattern of suffering now, glory to come. This is the normal Christian life. Don't be surprised at your fiery ordeal. Remember your brothers and sisters around the world. Do you know, it is always good, isn't it, to remember others who have a much tougher time than we ever will. It's always good, isn't it, to have a Christian friend at work or at school or in our family who will stand with us and take the flak for being different as a Christian. I remember at school, it really helped me to stand fast as a believer when there's times I wanted to run and hide behind the blackboard. The good old days of the blackboard. It's not odd. It's not odd to suffer or to make me feel different or unusual. Actually, no, Christians around the world experience the same kind of sufferings. You are not on your own. You're part of the body of Christ all over the world. So these Christians he writes to us now, stand fast. Remember, you're part of a family. And what you're experiencing is not unusual. In fact, we need to pray, don't we, for those around the world who have a terrible time for following Jesus Christ, who suffer terrible things for Jesus Christ, who shame us. By the way, they're so bold and willing to give even their lives for following Jesus Christ. So stand fast, remember your enemy. Stand fast, remember your family. Don't be surprised when tough times come. And thirdly and finally, stand fast. Rejoice in future hope. Rejoice in future hope. Do you remember how this letter began so effusively and excitedly? Look back to 1 Peter 1, verse 3. It begins with praise and rejoicing to God in hope. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Well, as the letter ends, Peter points us forward with hope to a calling from God that guarantees our future forever. I wonder, have you ever had the experience where you've been for a job interview and you are told to go home and you wait for the phone call and it's kind of nerve-wracking. And you forget the interview here and going home and kind of waiting. And there's all these people arriving for a Bible study in our house and thinking, oh, this is so bizarre. Nobody knows anything about this. And the phone call came. There's the bishop, Steve. We'd love to offer you the job. And I said, okay, yes, I'd like to take it. Thanks very much. And I put the phone down. I thought, what have I just done? But after half an hour, it was just fine. I was very excited. We know what it's like, don't we? You're waiting for something to come. You get a phone call, and the job is yours. It's guaranteed by the phone call, and yet it's to come. Well, what future does God, by his grace, guarantee for his people as he calls them? Look at verse 10. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. He called us to be his, to his eternal glory in Christ. What a wonderful living hope that we have, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. How do you know that's true for us tonight? Well, at some point, whether that was a gradual experience in your life, maybe growing up in a Christian family, or a moment in time, the Lord called you to his eternal glory in Christ. It's another way of saying he saved you now for future salvation. He said, Steve, or Philip, or Nina, or Tom, or Chris, or Sandy, or David, come to me. Be saved by me. Come one day to my heavenly glory. And not through what you can do, but through what Christ has done. It's in his name, in Christ, his work, in Christ, that you are saved in Christ. What a joy. Called, chosen for a glorious future. Now that is wonderful, isn't it? What a hope. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ after you've suffered a little while. Same little phrase from the opening chapter, suffering a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong
firm and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.
Who knows that maybe the suffering or trial you're facing will pass in this life and he will restore you. Or maybe the suffering will end when you go to glory and you'll be fully restored and perfectly made strong and like Christ.
Whenever the Lord fulfills this wonderful promise for us, we know we can hold fast to it.
We have a frightening foe, but we have a wonderful Saviour who saves us and keeps us and does not let us go. He guards us through faith, chapter 1, and he will restore us, he will make us strong, he will keep us firm and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. The hope of glory helps us to stand fast. It's worth following Jesus. It's worth keeping going because I've got a glorious future through Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful promise. Verse 10 and 11 is. I wonder, who could you text that promise to this week? Who could you encourage with that truth? I've had a number of people in my life that I've just felt that this is the right verses for them right now, and I've just texted it to them. Who could you bring God's word to this week? It's just such a glorious promise of future hope and relief. You see, my friends who I've texted this to this week have been struggling. I've sent it to them because I want to give them comfort and because I want them to stand fast in the faith, fueled by the truth of God's word, which is what they need right now to stand firm on. Because for sure, I know the devil will be trying to discourage and devour them. They need to know the truth of God's word. We need the truth of God's word, this promise of future hope through Jesus Christ, so we do not lose heart and we keep pressing on. I want my friends to read the word and rejoice in the hope of the gospel and the hope of the strength that God alone can give them in trials and suffering. Stand fast by rejoicing in future hope. Never forget when Jenny went to Kenya many years ago and worked for a summer in an orphanage. And the situation was pretty dire. And the people who looked after these children were amazing Christians. And the situation was pretty awful, actually, for a lot of these children and their leaders. And she said to them, "What on earth gives you such joy and keeps you going?" And they said, it is Jesus. He's promised us a glorious future beyond this life. That sustains us. That's why we stand fast. We have a glorious hope. We hold on, even when it's so tough and there's no food to eat. We hold on. Stand fast by rejoicing in future hope. Well, there are many questions surrounding the meaning of the John Lewis advert. Is Moz real or imaginary? He's imaginary. Who's the present from at the end of the film? It's so badly wrapped. Is it Moz or is Mum and Dad playing along? You watch it and work it out. But it's been a highly effective advert in getting papers, writing articles, searching for the meaning and the purpose behind it. But behind its brilliant, mysterious depths is the underlying reason. Shop at John Lewis. You can buy the nightlight, the duvet, the Moz cuddly toy, the Moz pyjamas, the Moz mug, the Moz book, and the Moz slippers. And why wouldn't you want those for Christmas? Well, let's be in no doubt of the underlying reason for the book of 1 Peter. It's to encourage the Christians then in their living hope to stand fast. And so with a lovely little kiss at the end, verse 14, and a greeting of peace, Peter signs off letter 1.
And these last few verses call us to stand fast by resisting our enemy. He's out to devour you. Wake up to remember your family. You are not alone. And to rejoice in your hope, called to glory through Christ, secure in your inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Who could you text this week to encourage them on? Let me pray. Fear not, then said the angel, let nothing cause you fright. To you is born a Saviour in David's town tonight, to free all those who trust in him from Satan's power and might. O tidings of comfort and joy, O tidings of comfort and joy. Father, we rejoice in the comfort of being held fast by Jesus. Help us to resist our enemy. Help us to remember our family, to encourage each other. Help us to rejoice in your hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.